Everyone, hello again. This is Barry Clarkson. I will be your host today on to Tuesday's call, and I'm excited about being here and absolutely much more excited about the special guest that I have joining me. Let me make a couple opening comments because, you know, the Tuesday call is a call when people, predominantly new people, come on. You're getting to understand and to know National Agents Alliance better. You know, this is a call that I want you to understand the core values that rock our company. You know, I want you to understand on this call why we have had phenomenal growth over the last 4 years, what's gone behind that. And the reason that I say that is I believe if you look at our leadership, whether it's our personal producers or whether it's their management team, you are a mirror of our growth. And which relative to National Agents Alliance in growth is also very relative to the way you approach each day in your activity. Something that we say a lot around here, and I want you to write this down because it's going to really be a lot of what these superstars are talking about today. I believe success in each of your businesses, and you could be just joining us, and this could be your first conference call, but I think it is critically important to understand that success really always revolves around three things. One of those is each of your focus. Focus is so incredibly important. And, you know, so I want you to, I don't want you to just write focus down. I want you to take a moment and think about when you're focused on something in 100% of both your physical and mental energy is directed into one area, what can happen, okay? So focus is an easy thing to write down, but to have the discipline to stay in that zone of focus, a lot of people find it challenging. So remember this, your success is certainly going to revolve around your focus. I think number two, it's motivation, and it's going to be your ability to stay motivated along the journey that you're getting ready to embark on, right? You know, it's why I love reading off our leaders on Wednesdays for those that are in our top 10, and it just looks like that so many of the names fit. We read off consistently week after week after week. Well, the reason that I do that is I know that these people have the same trials and the same tribulations that all of us have, but they have that unique ability to stay motivated on a daily basis on what they're trying to accomplish. And if I would say this to you, or if I could say this to you, I think the one hurdle that most of you will face in our business, and guys, I tell people this, if you're in NAA or you have chosen this business as your profession, or maybe you've been in corporate America and you said, you know what, man, I've always had a goal and a dream of being in business for myself. I've had a goal and dream of controlling my own destiny and being able to go out and make money and create wealth for my family. Then, guys, you're not a status quo person. This is not a status quo business. This is a business for those people that want to achieve more, I think, not only in their business life, but probably the driver, Dick Sylvester, is really their personal life. So you got to stay motivated. And then number three, and number three is a key one because it's execution. You know, you can attend our leadership conference, you can attend our national convention, and you can listen to every MP3 NAA has ever come out with. You can be on every conference call. But, guys, at the end of the day, you must execute, you know. You've got to work hard in your preparation. It's kind of like we're in the middle of college football season, and I guess the NFL too. You can go practice all week, but whether it be Saturday or whether it be Sunday, the team that's victorious is going to be the team that executes on a consistent basis. You know, I think as I talk about those three things, you know, and as you understand National Agents Alliance, guys, we are in what I like to call an attraction business. You know, people are going to be attracted to you, whether you're telling them about our opportunity at National Agents Alliance and you're trying to recruit them into the business, whether you're in front of them this evening across that kitchen table looking at them, showing them, you know, our plan and how we, you know, they need that plan. Those, and maybe it's that little quirk, that little fine edge that separates being good and being great or being mediocre. It's those people that have that passion and commitment that attracts people. And what I have found out in my many years in this business is, guys, what people buy into are people that are fully committed, that do not give lip service to what they're doing, but the passion literally oozes out of their eyes and out of their heart. And I think that's such a key. And when I look at our Rising Star Award winners today, man, that's what I see. That's what I see in this particular group. So with that, and as with a few words of introduction, what I'd like to do is jump right in and kind of just do an interview process here with their rising stars and some of their leaders. And Dick Sylvester, I am going to start with you. And what I would like to start with, if you could give us, you know, you picked Pam Muckenthaler as being a rising star. And I want you to kind of maybe just share with us what you have seen in Pam, you know, the first 60 or 90 days that she was with us. Maybe, Dick, what would be pertinent to the conversation is to share what you saw in Pam versus a lot of the other people that have come in your business really over the last 11 years since you and I have been working together. And then we'll talk to Pam. So, Dick, if you could, please.
Thanks, Barry. Pam was the epitome of what you just described in terms of focus, motivation, and execution. When I showed her this opportunity, I walked into her office. She was looking for a change, and she had a passion. And from the time we first talked, she did exactly what she was told. She was extremely teachable. She said, okay, what do I need to do today? That's get your license. And for the first 6 weeks she was with us, she wrote about $15,000 or $18,000 in that 6 weeks, maybe $20,000. But she was working a full-time job. But that full-time job in no way ever got in the way of what she wanted to do and what she was going to do.
Hey, Dick, excuse me. Go back and give us her numbers one more time. What did she do the first 6 weeks in the business?
Around $20,000 in premium the first 6 weeks.
Okay.
And that $20,000, all the time doing that, she was working full-time at a 40 to a 50-hour week job that was very demanding. It was in the resort business, and it was that time of year in April and 1st of May when Memorial Day weekend's coming. So she was extremely committed to that job and would not walk away from them. So she just grabbed everything. She listened to anything she could get her hands on. She immediately bought a policy on herself. The 8 steps to success that Alex Avian did such a great job on, both in Baltimore and at the meeting in Raleigh, that was Pam. She just took those things, and it was like a goal that she was going to accomplish, and every time she accomplished one of those, oh, by the way, she started making sales to go along with that.
Well, you know, guys, and one of the things I'm hoping, Alex, we're going to have some time to talk about today, my man, and that is this. If when I look at Barry Clarkson's passion, man, I love what we do for the consumer. But I've got to tell you something. Where I think we equally have the ability to change lives are those people just like Pam Muckenthaler that are out there working and to be able to come into our business on a part-time basis. And I really think this. That if you out there are looking to build an organization and to build a team, and I think one of the great things about what we have at NAA, you don't have to be an Alex Fitzgerald and be able to go out there and recruit hundreds of thousands of people a year in your organization. Guys, you can go out with our opportunity and get you three or four or five people that want to make a career change and bring them in on a part-time basis. And see, I really think to get the quality of people that NAA is looking to build our company with, guys, I got to tell you something. I think 90% of them are employed with jobs. They have responsibility. They have children. They have mortgage payments and everything that comes along with having a family. And a lot of these people are great people, but maybe they aren't willing. And I understand why they're not willing. I think Andy Albright made the comment, man, I never encourage anybody to go full-time in this business until they know in their heart of hearts that it's the right decision for them. And so, Dick, we're going to talk a little bit about recruiting the part-time person. But boy, what a great segue into talking with Pam here. Pam, tell us real quick, what did you see in NAA? I mean, obviously you were successful at what you were doing. Dick said you were committed to it. What did you see in NAA?
Well, the biggest thing I saw, first of all, Dick was recommended to me by somebody I knew and respected, and they thought very highly of him. Because you think salespeople, you don't always think that, that's something you're going to be, what they say might be overhyped. But Dick was very, very much recommended to me. But the biggest thing I saw when he opened the door, I just told him today, he opened a little door to my office, but he opened a huge door to the world for me. It's like this is the American dream. When I started doing it, my husband kept saying, "Where has this been? Where has this been?" Because they're the only limitations in this business are those we put on ourselves, and that's it.
You know, Pam, I so much agree. Pam, let me ask you this: how do you plan each week? And let me tell you the purpose of why I'm asking and why I'm going to ask each person this. And this is a big statement, especially for the new people. The people that get beat in our business, I think the people that really get beat, it doesn't even have to be in our business. Maybe it's any sales business, but we're certainly talking about NAA and the insurance business today. They don't get beat because they're bad at giving the presentation or they don't understand the products. Now, I think all of those things are important, and I want to come back to why I believe pros study their business. I think that's the reason Dick Sylvester has a great reputation in his community. He's passionate about what he does, but also he knows the business. And when you do that, you know, your reputation truly is everything in business. But Pam, saying that most people get beat because they do not prepare daily and weekly in activity. So they get beat because they don't have enough appointments. Pam, how many, I guess first thing, when do you typically set your appointments for the week, and how many do you try to get to? And the reason that I'm asking is you're not in a big metropolitan area. You're in a very small area. So if you could address that, please.
Yeah, I actually live in a town of maybe 1,000 people, so I drive about an hour and 15 minutes to wherever I'm going.
Okay.
But we typically get our leads on Monday or Tuesday, so I try to call on either Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
Okay, so you jump on them as soon as you get them.
Soon as I get them, and then I call again on Sunday nights as well. I also take them with me, and whenever I have any free time, like if I have somebody who's a no-call, I will use that time to make more phone calls, especially for the day folks. I was working for a long time, so I had to listen to the MP3 for the Wednesday ones.
Yes.
And everybody said the same thing, 15 to 16 appointments. So that's what I try to do.
Excellent, Pam.
Appointments.
Excellent. And I can guarantee you, Pam, you're not getting 15 to 16 leads a week, so I'm sure you're getting referrals and you're doing a lot of other things, but you are exactly right. If you go out with a mission and to hear of your success in the first 6 weeks while you were, you know, working part-time with us, you know, I would also say this, Pam, people do in this world what they need to do to move. And I love people that are challenged. You know, I think so many people try to make it too convenient to come into our business. You know, I don't think it should be convenient. you know, I want to put you out there and kind of make it tough on you the first 4 or 5 or 6 weeks to find out how you're going to react when the first vowel comes up. And, well, Pam, we're proud of you. We're proud of your activity, your example, which you have done. Dick, you know, I can't get off the phone here with you too quick. Dick, you know, you've been one of NAA's most consistent producers, but as far as I'm concerned, really over the last 11 years since you and I've been together. Dick, how many appointments do you typically try to get to, and when do you do your phone calling?
I do my calling on Monday evening, and I have enough B leads that if the new leads haven't come in, I still have enough to call. Traditionally, I will see 6 to 8 appointments a week because of the team. I'm limited with that. My closest lead is an hour and a half away, so I drive from where I live to that lead. I set appointments on Monday evening. I then work. I try to set appointments at 4, 6, and 8 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then I try to set as many as I can on Saturday. Traditionally, I get every other Saturday I'll get 2 or 3 leads. And in the wintertime, when soccer's not going on with kids, I may get 3 Saturdays a month if I get to work.
Great. Dick, I certainly did not get on the phone call today, but I cannot not ask you this. So, you know, let me ask for your forgiveness before I ask you. Dick was the guy that I had stand up in Raleigh, North Carolina, in our fall leadership of 2005. And I asked Dick to come up because I said, you know, Dick, I think so many people can relate to people just like Barry Clarkson and Dick Sylvester. You know, I tell the story that I was in a business for 18 years before my business ever did over $1 million of business. And, Dick, I think you know, if I could have a poster child for NAA right now and the people listening, it would probably be you for this reason. Dick runs a $70,000 to $80,000 a month operation. Dick, as he said, and Pam just said it, they live in a very, very small town. Dick, how many producers do you have in your organization that consistently produces?
He can pretty well count on 10 people every month.
Okay.
But it's funny, Barry, once you start doing this, how your people are attracted to you.
Yep.
And we will probably close to double that between now and January 1. I've got 2 rising stars sitting in my office here with me right now that I'll be disappointed if they're both not on the stage in January.
Well, and I think so. And I think the message here is Dick has got 10 producers, runs a $70,000 to $80,000 shop or $1 million shop, personally goes out every month and writes $12,000 to $15,000 in premium and will do that in 2 or 3 days a week. And Dick will cash flow well in excess of $300,000. And Dick, I think that that's fabulous, and it is amazing how you and your team are growing. So congratulations, and we're proud of you. And with that, I want to move over to Kirk Falk. Kirk, if you could give us a little intro on Matt. And tell us how you recruited Matt in Matt's first 30 days in the business, and if we could start with that.
Okay, terrific, Barry. Thank you very much. First of all, we've been hearing a lot about warm market recruiting lately. Matt is the epitome of a warm market recruit. His mother was referred to me by a client a couple years ago, and Matt's mom, Donna, became a client of mine, and I tried to recruit her. She was looking for a business opportunity, and something else had come along that she was more interested in. But she said, you know, you should talk to my son. He's a mortgage broker, just a terrific guy, and not really happy with his circumstances. So Donna and I and Matt met at a restaurant. I was immediately taken by him, by his enthusiasm, by that spark that you can see in an individual's eyes. And I know in Raleigh we all learned that you can't judge a book by its cover, but boy, I was really ready to read that book because I liked the cover. I liked what I saw, and I put Matt with an agency manager that I have, Blake Tyler. They hit it off, and it was kind of a protege mentor relationship, and Blake got Matt ready. Matt just wanted to go out and work, and he did. First month that he wrote business full-time, I think he wrote about $34,000. Just going out and doing it. He would go anywhere. He would run any leads. He was running B leads, A leads, C leads, just anything to get in front of folks, and he was closing them. He's a good student. He's got the heart of a champion, and he does whatever it takes. He's perfect.
So Kirk, Matt's first 30 days, and I kind of want to back up. Matt obviously came in part-time. He already had a job, unhappy.
I forgot to add that. Against my best wishes, he was so frustrated. We tried to recruit his whole mortgage brokerage company, Blake and Matt and I, and they weren't willing to do it. So Matt, as Cortez did at Veracruz, he burnt his ships and said, man, I'm going to do this, and failure isn't an option. So he came on full bore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I kind of understand that. That's the way I came into the business. So Matt, I understand that madness that we have. But I do think the thing is that's important. You go back to that reputation thing, and first, and I'm just trying to get follow you here, Kirk. Matt's mother was first your client.
That's correct.
Okay. Man, warm market recruiting. Matt comes in after meeting at a restaurant and, you know, having lunch or whatever, and then his next 30 days in the business after he gets his license writes $34,000 in premium. And to my knowledge, Matt, you had no training in the insurance business. I think, Kirk, you know, one of the adjectives were, you know, you were very coachable. You were willing to go wherever you needed to go. You didn't know the difference in a B lead and an A lead. You were just excited about what you were doing. Matt, talk about that first 30 days and talk about your activity and how you prepare for each week and a little bit about your schedule.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Barry and Kirk, and I'd also like to thank Blake Tyler, as Kirk mentioned, for helping me get started. As far as my schedule goes, I kept it very, very simple, and Blake helped me with this. Blake was like, basically, because I was asking Blake the same questions, well, when do you make calls? And he was like, well, basically, when you're not at an appointment selling a policy, you should be making calls. You know, if you're not at an appointment, you should be scheduling one. So I've got a very simple schedule. You know, I'm just starting to build an agency now, so it's going to get more organized, but right now I've got a Monday through Sunday schedule. And I've got a couple little things blocked off in terms of, like, priorities with exercise and, you know, little minor responsibilities. But aside from that, it just has my goal on there and you know, neon. And it's like, it says only key tasks are prospecting and presenting. And
love it.
I set at least 12 appointments weekly.
So, love it.
Yeah, so it's basically wide open. And, you know, I just try to keep my feet to the fire to make it happen.
You know, Matt, we like, and I remember one time, and it's probably been 2 years ago, that Kyle Weinbrenner, who has always been until recent because his organization has got so big, but has always been one of our strongest producers early on. And he talked about having this box, and he had these little index cards in it. And wherever he was going, he had 4, 5, or 6 names written down, kind of like I would say his second string appointment list. But the point is, and it's what I'm hearing you say, you know, you prepare daily, because here's what happens. A lot of people today go out and say, hey, I've got 2 appointments. Well, how about if one of those appointments cancels, maybe the other one you go, you know, it's not home, they forgot you were coming or stood you up or whatever excuse you want to use, still, trying does not count, right? All of us try. And here's an important part for everybody to embrace. Pros in the business have a backup plan because they know they need that one sale every day. And what we talked about this in Baltimore, Kirk. never get beat on the things you control, right? And so what do we all control? We all can prepare because we control preparation. We control activity. And that's the reason you've always got to expect, I think, you've got to expect bad things are going to happen. That's just part of what you're doing, you know. But it's how you react to that. And so I love what you're working on, prospecting and presenting, prospecting and presenting. And the thing that I also like about it, it's a simplistic game plan, simplistic message. And you know what, Matt? It really doesn't get much more complicated than that, does it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the best thing. That's one of the best things about this business is that, one, you do have control over a lot more than you do at a normal job. You've got control over when when you're going to produce and when you're going to set your hours. And, I mean, the great thing about Blake was that he made it very, very easy for me to get started. Without, you know, knowing every single little detail, I could go out and build a solid pipeline really fast. And now I'm kind of circling back around and, you know, filling in, you know, some of the finer details and, you know, learning all the other stuff that I want to learn. But you can get started very basically, and it's which makes it great because you can come on part-time, you can still have a full plate at your job, and you can still build a pipeline and start making a lot of extra money.
Absolutely, because you know what? It's one of the few businesses you can come into part-time. You know, you can learn the business part-time. You can make great income part-time. In fact, I was talking about this particular subject on this past Friday with our managers. And Joyce Sally, one of our leaders in North Carolina, emailed me and she said, Barry, I came in part-time, had three or four things that I was doing, and made $65,000 my first 12 months in the business part-time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of the amazing things about it. Matt, how old are you, if you don't mind if I ask?
I'll be 29 in December.
All righty. Well, you even look younger than that, buddy. You're going to take that as a compliment one of these days. Matt, we're proud of you, and Kirk, certainly of you and your leadership, and thank you very much for being on the call today.
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, thank you very much, Barry.
You're welcome. Let's jump over to Nathan Whitlow. Nathan is in the Chicago market, one of the big markets in our country today, and Nathan's agency over the last year, especially the last 90 days, man, has exploded. I think it was 30 days ago they went over $200,000 in their agency. And he had an individual by the name of Christy, and I'm telling you what, Christy Howell, I was just looking actually not only at her getting started, but in the month of September, Christy was, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, she was the seventh producer in all of National Agents Alliance, and Fitz, if you can get in the top 25 or 30, you're doing a pretty good job, aren't you? She was number 7, and in the month of September wrote $40,569 in premium. So, Christy, we're proud of you and the job you continue to do. Nathan, if you would, introduce Christy. What did you see special in Christy? And just talk a little bit about her activity.
Well, Christy started with us back in July, and she was brought on by Brian Wong. And her first month, she wrote about $12,000 in production in July.
Okay.
And then in August, she, you know, for working with her and showing her, you know, what's possible, she decided to start traveling. And she goes about 6 hours every week to a location, and back in August she wrote $62,000 in production
by traveling.
Her activity is unparalleled. I've never seen anything like it from any agent in my hierarchy. She doesn't just go to one county and take 30 leads. She'll hit six counties in a trip. Go somewhere. She's centralized in one location, she'll go drive, you know, an hour to another county to run one appointment. It's just absolutely incredible. I mean, everything that's happened to her, she completely deserves, because her activity is, like I said, is just completely unparalleled. And her attitude and her recruiting, she just recruited someone. She was at a location and she recruited one of her clients, actually just a couple of days ago, trained her, and her client was already licensed, got her contracted, and that client wrote $1,400 in production. She's just hitting on all cylinders, and her attitude, and she just comes to me all the time and said, Nathan, more. I want more. Teach me how to manage. Teach me how to lead. Teach me how to sell. It's just, she's such a wonderful addition to the Chicago office.
Well, I had the opportunity. We had a little reception for their rising stars. I think it was on either Friday, must have been on Saturday night at the conference. And Christy walked in. It was my first opportunity to meet Christy. And, boy, she just lit the room up with her passion and excitement. And it was such a it was fabulous to talk with her. And so, you know, 12,000 in July, 62,000, which was a five-week month. And the reason I say that is she came right back in September, which is a four-week month, and over 40,000. So, Alex, listen to this. In 60 days, wrote $102,000 in premium. Christy, what did you do before National Agents Alliance?
I made children's music, so it was...
Fabulous. Fabulous, and you know what? I remember you telling me about that. Christy, what did you see in NAA? I mean, why did you join us?
You know, I did join it because of the opportunity that I saw, and honestly, when I came into the office and met everybody, everybody was very welcoming and very encouraging, and I saw the potential and what NAA stood for, and it really excited me because I didn't feel like I was limited, and there wasn't a 24-hour, 7 days a week type of responsibility that I had, meaning that, you know, this was something that I could do at my own pace, at whatever that may have been, and from there I could build it the way I wanted to. So I was excited about the potential of building my own agency as well and not being limited in that respect either. So.
Christy, I have a lot of questions I'm sure I want to ask you, but I want to make a comment.
Okay.
You know, every day... The thing that I think all of us, every person on this phone has got to work on, so we've got to work on our attitude. Alex Fitzgerald talks so much about that. Every time he talks about what you listen to and what you read and just being prepared for the day. And here's the lesson for all of us. Our environment... And we talk a lot about the environment in the office with their leadership. But here's the whole point. You never know when you're talking to a Christy Hale. Here's a lady that worked with children and produced children's music or worked on that. And, you know, when she came through the door, yeah, she's sharp and she's got a great personality. But people, how many people... come into our lives every single day, and before they have a chance to do anything, you prejudge them. Guys, you never know who's got that heart of a champion. You never know who that person is that's frustrated like Matt Fortas or Christy Hale and said, you know what, man, I love what I'm doing, but I want more. I'm looking for an opportunity. And so, you know, when I hear you talk, Christy, that's what jumps out at me. Christy, here's what I want to ask you. $102,000 in premium. Obviously, this is not something that you have been training for all of your life, the insurance business, although maybe you have, in a lot of the things that you've done. But Christy, just talk to all of us about your activity. Obviously, Nathan talked about you travel 6 hours. Many weeks. How many appointments do you typically set and try to get to every week? And when do you do your phone calling?
Barry, I really try to set between 15 and 20 appointments a week. So whether I can get to all of those or not is, you know, definitely based on schedule and, you know, whether the whether everything works out. But my goal is always 15 to 20 a week. And whatever I need to do to get there, that's how many calls I make. So I don't have a set amount of calls that I make every week, and I don't say I make 200 calls. I say I make it until I have those 15 to 20 appointments. So on the way on the way down, yes, I do drive 6 hours, but I do also try to make it where I make the appointments on the way down. So maybe a couple hours away, I'll do two or three appointments, stay over some night or stay over that night somewhere, and then the next day I will head down again even farther. And, you know, maybe another 2 or 3 hours, and then from there, you know, I can hit back-to-back-to-back appointments. So I let them know I'm coming from out of town. I've had people get off work for me. I've had people stay late for me. I've met people at their jobs. I've done whatever I could to make it possible. I just closed a sale in the park on a bench 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I whatever it takes, you know, I'm willing to do it, and I know where I want to be, and I like to push the envelope as far as I can possibly push it. So.
Man, isn't it exciting, Christy, to hit out every week? You know what I love about this business is you never know what you're going to come home with. But I love that attitude of, you know what, I'm going out on a mission, and, buddy, if I'm going to be driving 6 hours, I'm going to get everything that I can haul back in the trunk of my car.
Right.
And I think that's a great lesson for us all. If I could very quickly close with this. I send in a lead card. Christy, you're making an appointment with me. What do you say?
What do I say on an appointment?
Yes, I mean, like, to set your appointments. Give us just a quick little phone script, if you don't mind.
Okay. Hi, this is Christy. I'm calling with the mortgage group. I'm calling about your loan for $55,000. And I wanted to find out if you guys are going to be available on Wednesday. I'm coming from out of town. And I need to pick a 10-minute time window with you to make sure you get this information. Are you guys available mornings, afternoons, or weekends, or evenings? And they usually say which one, because I really want to put the people that are available in the mornings in the morning. So I give them that opportunity to tell me, and I don't give them an opportunity to say yes or no. It's mornings, afternoons, or nights. You know, which one is it? So then I give them two time slots in that time zone, and then I say, you know, if you guys want to meet with me at 3:30, I will be there between 3:30 and 4. I always give myself a half an hour time window.
Sure, sure.
Just to make sure that, you know, I can spend the time that I need with the people before and after, and I always double book. So
love that.
It's very important, especially when I go out of town. I really try to double book. And then from there, I ask them if they have any medical conditions, cancer, stroke, heart attack, diabetes, anything like that. And I ask them to write my name down on a piece of paper, the time and the date that I will be there, and put it smack dab on the kitchen table. And I will let them know I will see them then, and to make sure that they have the other spouse there as well.
Christy, what I love is you're taking control. You are there to do business. If someone's going to be doing the canceling of an appointment because of time, I'd rather it be me than that person. And so many people in here, man, how about if I have to cancel an appointment? Trust me, everybody, it's not like you're going to ruin their day if you have to reschedule, okay? But what Christy just talked about on the control of her schedule and being confident, you know, what I hear in... You know, Christy, you're sitting here talking to hundreds of people right now, and what I hear is just confidence, confidence, confidence. You never grow beyond that, by the way. And so, Nathan and Christy, thank you for being with us today. And Christy, wow, we look forward to continuing to watch your growth.
Well, you know what? I really enjoyed meeting you guys, and thank you for, you know, everything at the convention. And I had a great time, and thanks for having us on the call today. I really appreciate Nathan for training me and getting me where I am. So, anyway.
Nathan, I bet you wish you had a lot of Christies to work with every day.
You know, I found one, you know, looking for the next one. If I could have 10 more, we'd be all right.
We're working on it, though. We're getting there.
We'd be all right.
All righty, guys. Thank you much, we're certainly proud of you. All righty. What I would like to do is I'd like to conclude our day-to-day. I was talking with Alex Fitzgerald last night, and man, it's just, you know, Alex, to watch his growth and just the leaders that are coming out of the Fitzgerald organization, it's just been exciting. And, we had Alex, you had more rising stars than anyone. You had three people. I think Mike Leventowicz may have been in there with two or three maybe, but what I'd like to do is really just kind of to turn the call over to you. Alex, make a couple of comments on what you've heard so far, and then if you would introduce your rising stars and talk about their activity and what we've been doing for the last 45 minutes, man.
All right. Well, we actually submitted four rising stars, and you guys cut one. So.
You know, it really, if I could say this, if the fourth one is listening, every one of them was very deserving.
Oh, yeah.
But we had to draw the line somewhere.
Absolutely. I told the fourth one, her name's Beth Preston, and she's a local legend, I guess, but I told her, you know what, that's just the luck of the draw. You know, bigger numbers will get you called. but I guess we just had too many good people.
What a problem to have.
Yeah. Let me introduce these three and just kind of tell their numbers and tell why I nominated them as rising stars, and then I'll let you go back to interviewing them. And I'm going to call them out based on their production over the last couple of months.
Yes.
Number one in production over the last couple of months, Joseph Sexton. Joseph is not local to Dallas. He's in Texas. He's recruiting across the country. Joseph actually came on board, was interviewed and hired, and then went away and just disappeared. But he was on our distribution list. He kept getting emails from us and finally called us back and said, hey, I've been getting the emails from you guys. I'm fully licensed now. I've seen the success that you're having. I want it on board. And that's a little tip for, you know, as far as kit marketing.
Better believe it.
And, yeah, and then just staying in touch with people, never burning bridges, never blowing somebody out of the water, which took me a while to learn. But Joseph came on board, and I told him about double-digit recruiting, and he took me at my word. And in June, he actually recruited 18 people, which is more than most agency managers did.
Wow. Congratulations, Joseph.
Yeah, and then in July, he did 14, so he backed it up with another strong month. In August, it was right at 10, and it's kind of tailed off just a little because he's got so many agents to work with now. He still, last month, he came in with 7, but his production did this. In his total team volume in May, it was at 21.5. In June, when he recruited his 18 people, his total team volume was 18,000.
Okay.
In July, it was 29,000.
Okay.
In August, it was 78,500. And then September, which August was a 5-week month. September was a 4-week month. He went from 78,000 to 87,000. So if there's ever been a vote cast for double-digit recruiting turning results within 90 days, there's a vote. I mean, that's a resounding amen. Numbers are absolutely going through the roof. He's working with qualification for agency manager. I'm a little stricter about who I promote to agency manager within my group because I've promoted several people in the past who were not sound financially and went backwards quickly, and I don't want to see that happen again. So he's jumping through the hoops and doing it very willingly and recruiting at a distance. Number two that I would like to introduce is Cameron Kimmel. She's actually here in the room with me. Cameron has just been steady growth, and she's a prime example of working your warm market, recruiting people you know and friends and family. I mean, and family that, you know, well, friends that are like family.
Yes.
Her production in August was 74,000. Actually, in July, June, it was just shy of 50. July, it was 52. August, it was 74. September, was 56,000 in her team, and absolutely been doing very well. We saw her on the panel Sunday morning at the leadership.
Yes.
Very proud of Cameron and proud of what she's doing. Funny thing is, she's terrified of public speaking, but you would never know it.
I don't believe it, Alex.
No, I don't believe it at all. And then the final person I recognize today is Dan Gillingham. Dan is actually in the Pacific Northwest. which is a gold mine of a market. But I just forgot. I meant to mention some of the personal production. Those two that I already mentioned are leading their teams in personal production.
Yes.
And actually, this last week, Joseph Sexton went out and wrote 12-4 traveling, 16 applications for over $12,000, setting the pace for his team. And Dan, as the third rising star, is really no exception to that. In August, Dan broke over 60. He did $68,000. September was a little bit of a breathing month for him. You know, we see it a lot of times where you spike and you have kind of a breathing month.
Yes.
Well, October, first week of October, mind you, most of his key players were at the leadership in Raleigh. First week, $24,000.
Whoa.
This second week, and Dan's probably embarrassed by this, I think he blanked personal production, but his team's at $20,000 again. So tremendous volume coming out of there, and he's actually been talking to his team, even though they're in the Pacific Northwest where there's a ton of leads, he's been teaching on traveling. And he's got one guy that just took him up on his word last week, went out and wrote $16,000 by traveling, even though he's in an area where there's a gold mine of leads. He still traveled a few hours away and made a ton of money again. So those are the three rising stars. They're all bona fide studs, and there's nothing better I can say about them than, turn them over to you and let you grill them with questions.
Well, you know, I was sitting here, and we'll go in just the order that that you presented them, but I was thinking of Joseph, as you were giving his recruiting numbers. I remember another guy in 2003 that had some very similar numbers, and I remember what happened in July of 2003 to you, Alex Fitzgerald.
That's right.
And you know what? I don't know why. I don't understand it all the time. I just know this. You cannot double-digit recruit for 90 consecutive days and not have an explosion in your business. And anyone that does it has an explosion in their business. And so for all of you out there listening on a training standpoint of, how do you go build your business, guys, let's start with Joseph right here. Joseph, I think your numbers speak for themselves. If you could talk a little bit about your activity, but I think what everyone would like to hear, how do you recruit people?
Well, good morning, Barry. It's an honor to be on this call with such an esteemed company, and I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
What really, really opened it up for me, and having Fitz as a mentor and a leader, that's first and foremost what I would attribute to the success that our team has experienced. But as far as the 90-day blitz is really what catapulted me. I heard about it for the first time, and I saw the vision, and I planned the work, and I worked the plan. When I came out of the national convention earlier this year, a light bulb went off over my head, and said, I want to be an agency manager ultimately. I want to qualify to be one of the Fitz Group builders, and I did that within the next couple of months, and then got on the builder's call. And shortly thereafter, started the 90-day blitz.
Sure.
After the conference or the national convention earlier in the year, that prompted me to really segment my time. I came home after that and segmented my day. I mean, down to blocks of 30 minutes. I know what I'm going to do when I get up in the morning throughout the entire day.
What a great lesson.
And that's what I took. That was one of the many things I took away from the conference. But it prompted me to do that, and that prepared me when it was time to hit the 90-day blitz. I already had a plan in place, and worked that plan religiously, and kept it simple. And the results, we're experiencing some pretty good results out of it.
Joseph, I think in this business, and I think it's a great lesson for all of us, that you know what, man, timing is everything. And, where I think as leaders, you develop this mental toughness a lot of times, and I think it's very important, and you've got to run with those ready to run. Alex, I think one of the great things, and I've heard people compliment you on this before, you know, it's not our business to run people out of the business. Yeah, we've got to manage our business, and we have to manage our care ratios, absolutely. But I also think this, you know, for those people that maybe the timing is just not right, maybe, and I think you said it, Joseph, the light bulb had not gone off quite yet. But you know what? You didn't leave our business feeling bad about National Agents Alliance, and you kept getting those emails, and one day you said, you know what? Man, I've reached a point that I want to change for whatever reason. You know, maybe you've reached a certain level of frustration, which is certainly what happens to most of us. But you show up at the national convention, and first of all, Joseph, let me compliment you for doing that at a time that you were not really exploding in the business, but you got yourself there, and heard one or two things that set this star in motion. And that's what it's all about. So I think it's a great lesson that, you know what, everyone that comes in your door is not going to have great success early on. But it's our job. Maybe we don't spend a lot of time. Maybe they end up being our second and third string. But I think great leadership, Alex, never lets people know where their second and third string is, right? But, man, I love what – let me ask you this. Did you, when you left the convention, is that when you said, hey, I'm going to go on this 90-day blitz? Is that when you started formulating the plan?
Well, that's when I started formulating the vision, but the 90-day blitz really hit when we were talking about having the contest.
Okay.
that Fitz had on the builder's call. Yes, from the viewpoint of, you know, sometimes life can get in the way, and that's what had been happening to me up until the point that I made the decision to really come on board with NAA, because I'd never run any business or anything like that before I made the decision to commit to it. But when I left the convention, I committed to get life in order so that I could make the time commitment necessary to do this, because I didn't want to do it half-hearted, and that's why I didn't start initially 2.5 years ago. But that's really what did it for me, is really starting to structure my day so that I can commit the time to do what was necessary and build slowly but surely. And then when the 90-day blitz hit, I was ready for it.
Yep, there you go. You know, I think the thing that I love what you're saying, too, and you said it again, really, if we look at the most precious or valuable commodity that we really have in our business, it's truly our time, isn't it? You know, you can't get up every day and not know what the plan is. And I hear people, I hear our great producers, and I hear our great leaders talk. And Joseph, all of them talk about how they value their time and how they make sure that they're doing something. You know, Matt Fortas just said it a moment ago, and same thing. Man, you're either prospecting or you're presenting, because that's what we get paid to do. And you can do a lot of things in the business that you don't get paid to do. And so stay focused. I go back to that opening comment. Stay focused on what is going to help you accomplish the goal that you've set, just like Joseph said. Joseph, I've only got about 102 questions for you, but it's 2:00, and I've got two more people to go through. But, man, in some time in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I want to have you come on and just talk about your recruiting, if you would. Thank you very much, Joseph.
My pleasure, Barry. Thank you.
All righty, let's jump over to Cameron. I remember meeting Cameron. Cameron, I don't know if you were just looking at our business, but it was the last time that I was in Texas. I remember meeting you, and I think you were just getting started. Again, I think your numbers speak very well of what you're doing. 50,000, 52, 74, 56. Obviously, you're building a great team. Cameron, let's shift gears a little bit. And maybe not. Why don't you tell us, what were you doing prior to joining NAA?
I actually was in college, and I was looking for a way to make good money, and I always wanted to be able to help people. It's kind of weird. I got my a friend of mine had an or was working for Aflac, and I just decided, well, I'll get my insurance license because there was no way for me to have support from or get money from my family, and I've always supported myself, and I had to do something that made money. Well, to my surprise, I was in Aflac for 3 months, and I spent 90% of my time looking for people or walking into businesses of me being the 20th agent, and I didn't like that at all. I don't know who does, but my Jason Myers got me into this business. I knew he had his insurance license, and I actually asked him what he was doing because he told me he made $7,000 in one weekend. And I was like, okay, you know, I was kind of, you know, asking some questions, and it was kind of weird. Through my spiritual beliefs, I was praying for something to come along, and the day I walked into Fitz's office, I just knew I was supposed to do this. I mean, this is everything I've ever been looking for that I had no idea that anything out there was like this. I mean, the system is completely laid out for everybody. It's a matter of Fitz. I mean, he talks about being teachable. I think that's very, very, very important in this business. Is as long as you're listening to your managers, you can't not do well.
Right.
And I've learned so much about. I'm consistently learning about what it takes to be a good leader. I know that I will have an agency force of good-hearted people helping people out there. And I'm a very humble person in this business, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make a difference in the world. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of Alex Fitzgerald's team.
You know, Cameron, I just listening to you, I got involved in this business when I was in college. My friend and I were at a restaurant that I don't even think they're in business anymore called Sambo's. And we were having one of their 99-cent breakfasts, and we were talking about getting a summer job. In fact, that particular summer, both of us were laborers for a brick mason. And there was a guy that was in the booth next to us, and he had an appointment, and he got stood up, Cameron. And he got up and he walked over and he said, "Hello, I don't mean to be nosy, but I heard you talking about a summer job, and I'm just starting a business here in the Lynchburg area. My name's Jim Deal." And Jim was from Massachusetts. And he said, "Here, I want to invite you to a meeting that we're going to be having next Tuesday. It's out at the Community Bank of Forest in Forest, Virginia." In Cameron, my friend and I both showed up, got licensed in about the next 60 days or so, and both of us from that day back in 1980 have never done anything after that summer of working for a couple of months for a brick mason, have never done anything other than be in the insurance business full time. And so I like to call it that 3-foot rule. You know, it's being passionate, Cameron, about what we do, not just for the consumer, but how many young people are out there that are beyond their years in maturity. And, Cameron, I think you just said it. You know, you had worked for whatever you had gotten in the past. And guys, they're the type of people you want to attract. You know, I love exceptions. You know, I consider Cameron an exception to the rule. But you know what you look for? People with a work ethic. People that want more. And Cameron, briefly talk with us about your activity. How many appointments do you? I know you're juggling personal production as well as building your team. but how many appointments do you typically try to run a week?
Locally, I try to set about 10 to 12 appointments.
Okay.
When I travel, I generally would set, or I try to set between 15 to 20 appointments.
Okay.
I know that, I'm touching on what, you know, Joseph Sexton and a couple other people have said, is I have to make a schedule. The night before I go to bed, I know exactly what I have to do every single day. And then there's a difference between just writing everything down and really, like, sorting different things out that you have to do. And there's a great book which Alex recommended, Getting Things Done, which I've been reading, and
yep.
It's phenomenal, and it's helping me get more organized. But as far as you know, just sorting out the things that I have to do every day, I do that, and I don't know what else to.
Well, hey, I think
when I make my phone calls, let me start over with this. On Tuesdays, we get our leads. The second that I get my leads on Tuesdays, I start calling. It doesn't matter if it says morning is the best time to call, evening, I don't care. I don't look at that. I just call. I don't mind calling people at their jobs if they, you know, if they did mind, they wouldn't have put their number on that lead. And I call on Wednesday evenings too, and I also call on Sunday evenings. And I try to book my appointments Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Execution, Cameron, is preparation. You know, if you're going to be an executor, if you're going to be someone that gets the job done, and guys, that's the message that I hear from every one of these leaders today, is they prepare daily for being in the field and making sure they do not get beat on the things they control. Yes, I said it before, but guys, that's it. And so, you know, all of them, I also have to, if I had one word to pick Dick Sylvester, it would be discipline. You know, great to be excited. There's a whole lot of people in this world excited that are going nowhere. You know, you can have faith in it, but remember, faith without works, guys, you got to execute, right? Cameron, thank you very much. And as we conclude today, and I know we're running over a little bit, but Dan Gillingham, Dan, you know what? Alex said it, and I think it's important to understand this. Our climb up the mountain or whatever we're trying to achieve, you just don't climb it straight up. It's why I loved what Joseph talked about in 90-day blitzes, because every 90 days, I want to challenge everyone on the phone, every 90 days, go set a new high in your business, in production, in recruiting, in your personal income. Set a new high every 90 days. And Alex, you're exactly right. I've never met anyone that didn't run out for 90 days, set a new high, including NAA. This has been the NAA story for the last 49 months. We would set a new high in 90 days, roll back down the mountain a couple steps, get up, dust ourselves off, and charge again for the next 90. And we went from literally a $4 or $5 million company 4 years ago to over $100 million in 2006, 90-day blitzing, challenging ourselves every 90 days to go set a new high.
Hey, Barry.
And yes.
This is Fitz. I just to encourage people on the call, maybe if you've done a 90-day blitz and it didn't work, I'm with you. 90-day blitz has never worked for me. It was always 120 days. I don't think I'm as good as everybody else is. And what my point there is, the activity during that time will work. You have to continue through. It works. But if it doesn't happen at the end of the 90 days, give it 120.
Absolutely.
That activity will pay off. It will show dividends. Heather and I were talking last night about we've seen growth over the last 3 or 4 months, but we've not seen the explosion yet that we were really anticipating. And I said, we're 120-day people anyway. We're not 90-day people. So that's just to encourage folks on the call. 90-day blitz is absolutely where it's at. But for me, it was 120-day blitz.
Hey, Fitz, one comment before we bring Dan on. Every time I tell the NAA story, I believe our most important year, when we really kind of found out what we had in our gut, was 2004, because it was a year we literally had almost no growth from where we concluded 2003. So we were blitzing every 90 days, and really, if you look at it on and you scaled it, guys, we had hardly no growth. But you know what? We went into 2005, and after the convention, we went from 900 applications a week to over 2,000 applications a week. And that's exactly what you're talking about, isn't it, Alex?
That's right.
Do not quit, you know, just keep on keeping on. But, buddy, I love, Dan, your numbers, Pacific Northwest, goodness, do we need a leader there, and glad to see you there. But, you know, Dan, I guess maybe as we conclude today, what did you do before NAA? And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, you know, how you're coming on here. But, dude, talk to us about the first 2 weeks of October. That sounds like my kind of growth right there.
Okay. Barry, thanks for having me on the call. It's an honor to be on this call. And I really, just to speak to the last 2 weeks, or the first 2 weeks of October, it has not a lot to do with me, because I was, you know, at the leadership conference, had a couple agents back with me. But I had some people that, you know, stayed at home and took on the challenge, and particularly one individual that went out and traveled and wrote 16,000 in 1 week.
Wow.
And this week, in Fitz, I didn't blank. I got two apps yesterday. So, but this week, you know, another 24,000. So, you know, we're about 45,000 for the month so far, which exceeds what we did in September, which was around 42,000. So, pretty happy. And I got to give credit to the team. Well, I've got 4 to 5 consistent producers that are out there running the appointments, making the calls, running the appointments, and making some money for themselves and their family. And some of them are doing it on a part-time basis. Some of them are doing it full-time. So it's a pleasure for me to see more and more people just, you know, sort of grab the ring here, the brass ring, and run with it and make a great life for themselves.
Dan, what did you do prior to National Agents Alliance?
Well, for 20 years, I did corporate facility planning and design, sold office furniture for major office furniture dealers from Dallas, Texas, through Reno, Nevada, to Seattle. And then about 2003, actually for the last 3 years in that industry, I had declining results, worked harder and harder, made less and less money. So I started looking for something else, and I responded to a recruiting ad for health insurance in Washington State, and went out and got my license, started selling health insurance to small businesses and self-employed individuals, and was building that business, and then we got hit with the company, I should say, a sister company that was associated with the company I worked for. I got hit with a cease and desist order, and we had to pull back for about 8 weeks and come back with a new product, and it just devastated, you know, what we had in Washington State. Continued to work in that business, but I was looking, and followed up on recruiting ads. I actually talked to 3 agency managers, Alex being one of them, and sort of the interview process for me and for them. And quite frankly, when I hung up the phone with Alex, I'd made my decision, because we sort of spoke the same language.
Sure.
I liked his confidence, his attitude, what he has put together as a master agency in support of his agents nationwide. It just speaks for itself. So, he read the same books I read and listened to the same type of tapes, particularly like John Maxwell. And I can follow a guy who's studying John Maxwell's leadership principles. And so, basically, got the paperwork done, got out in the field as a personal producer, still doing some health insurance, and that was 1st of August last year. And, you know, had a okay first month and kind of went backwards a little bit in September again on personal production. And Alex, challenged me to just sort of put the health insurance aside and focused primarily on mortgage protection in the month of October, and that turned things around for me. And first week of November went in and resigned my appointment with the health insurance company and just focused on NAA mortgage protection and life insurance. I went to the national convention in Dallas last year and made the decision there to go ahead and build an agency up here. And immediately started, when I got back the 1st of February, started recruiting in my warm market for folks. And there was actually a couple of agents that had worked with me in the health insurance industry that I had encouraged to join NAA, and they came on board. They had been already licensed and appointed, and so they Alex moved them in onto my team, recruited some more people from my warm market, and started recruiting from those agents' warm market, too. So I haven't, out of respect to the system, I haven't really, I'm sort of a crock pot. I'm not a microwave. And I haven't really done a 90-day blitz on recruiting. And after the leadership convention, my decision was, okay, I've got a pretty good basis of a team right now.
Sure.
But I really need to double my numbers or even triple my numbers on recruiting and get that explosion that Joseph Sexton has experienced in production.
Well, I congratulations, Dan. And, you know, the more I think all of us here today, I think just a loud, loud message to me is, Barry, man, we got to focus on warm market recruiting and talking to the people that we are in front of every day, presenting our product, the people that we bump into, because you just never know when you're going to find one of these winners that we're talking to. You know, listening to Joseph and Dan, as they kind of closed out, both of these stars talked about, you know what, when the light bulb really went off and when I made my commitment was at the convention. And, guys, I want to tell you something. If you're the newest person here, not only is it vitally important to be at the convention in January in Dallas, Texas, but as we left our convention or our leadership conference, go commit to bring 10 people with you. Say, Barry, that's a lot. You know what? There are a lot of people out there. If they knew they could go double, triple, quadruple their income in the next 12 to 18 months, it is a very small price to pay. And every one of these people that you have talked to or you've listened to today, do not prejudge. You never know when you're going to run into a Christy Howell or a Cameron or a Dan or a Pam. Guys, they're out there. So, let me close with this. Thank each of you for not only coming on and sharing what you do and a little bit of your story, but the most important thing, let me thank you for your personal example that you provide NAA every day in what you do, and also our leaders, Kirk and Dick, Nathan, and Fitz. Thank you very much for your leadership and for leading these great people that you had on today. Have a great afternoon. Make it a productive one. Execute, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on our Wednesday call at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much, and again, have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.